All right, I'm going to ask Chad to come and share out of Luke, the 11th chapter, verses 9 through about 28, and we'll start with that.
Thank you.
Okay, keeps flipping on me here. All right. And so I tell you, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be open. You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you, sinful people, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? One day Jesus cast out a demon from a man who couldn't speak. And when the demon was gone, the man began to speak. The crowds were amazed, but some of them said, "No wonder he can cast out demons. He gets his power from Satan, the prince of demons." Others, trying to test Jesus, demanded that he show them a miraculous sign from heaven to prove his authority. He knew their thoughts, so he said, "Any kingdom divided by civil war is doomed. A family splintered by feuding will fall apart. You say I am empowered by Satan, but if Satan is divided and fighting against himself, how can his kingdom survive? And if I'm empowered by Satan, what about your own exorcists? They cast out demons too, so they will condemn you for what you have said. But if I am casting out demons by the power of God, then the kingdom of God has arrived among you. For when a strong man is fully armed and guards his palace, his possessions are safe, until someone even stronger attacks and overpowers him, strips him of his weapons, and carries off his belongings. Anyone who isn't with me opposes me, and anyone who isn't working with me is actually working against me. When an evil spirit leaves a person, it goes into the desert searching for rest. But when it finds none, it says, 'I will return to the person I came from.' So it returns and finds that its former home is all swept and in order. Then the spirit finds seven other spirits, more evil than itself, and they all enter the person and live there. And so that person is worse off than before." As he was speaking, a woman in the crowd called out, "God bless your mother, the womb from which you came, and the breasts that nursed you." Jesus replied, "But even more blessed are all who hear the word of God and put it into practice."
Thank you, Chad. Why should we trust in a God? Is it wise? Is it worthy of having doubt that he's going to come through for us, or that he is really a good God? As I was just walking the beach and thinking about these things, looking at God's beauty and his mass variety. You know, we come back home and we've magnified the words here, welcome home. And for all of you, if you're visiting, whatever, or some of you are returned home from Kansas, hallelujah, just welcome home. What a great thing. And as we are traveling now, you know, one of the things I like to observe people and kind of sometimes just kind of guess where they're going and what they're thinking and what they're experiencing. And I will say, when we flew back and the pilot kind of banked just right so we could see Bear Butte. I don't always get to see that. And then I usually don't get a window seat, but Lisa did, and I was looking out her window. And this place is gorgeous right now. I mean, it is green, green, green. And it's just like, wow, great to be home. At the same time, I was thinking about people that, you know, live where we went at Cannon Beach, and they're home. And they love it. I mean, or if you don't love it, move. You know, I do think people, so often they just get so stuck and think that there's no opportunities. I'm telling you, the world is full of opportunities. Anytime you have something that disappoints you, drops off, doesn't happen the way you think it is, just lift up your head and say, "God, show me a new thing to go after. don't get stuck in the mud, because there is just so much going on. In fact, my problem is, it's like there's only one lifetime and I can't get everything done in it. And there's no way past wife, April is over there and they're in Norway, and gosh, that's one of the things, one of my dreams, is to get over there. At the same time, I want to just say it is so good to be at home wherever you are. It's just really good. I'm at peace and at home wherever I am, because I am with my Father all the time. And my time of fellowship, it was great to, because I do pretty good. Lisa and I do pretty good when we do take a break, just to stop thinking about everything that's going on. Although it still rattles in your cage, but it was great. But it's a great feeling to be at home, and then just fellowshipping with the Lord. And I was just thinking about these things, and then I got thinking about people and their struggle to believe in God. And I understand that. In fact, I could be the devil's advocate and give you a lot of reasons why, and where you could doubt and challenge your walk with the Lord. One of the biggest things that people tell me sometimes is, how can I believe in a good God when there's so much evil in the world? And I'm going to pull back the reins a little bit, because you can see enough evil in the you can see evil to the point where it will capture your soul and put you in bondage and hold you captive for the rest of your life if you don't know how to break free. And the world's calling that PTSD and things like that, but there's people in law enforcement and people just in everyday life that have seen some evil things, people that are Iranian friends and all that, that have seen so much evil that it wants to possess them and suck the life out of them. And you can be free, by the way. Praise God, you can get free. Jesus died for our freedom. But there is a tremendous amount of cruelty. There's a tremendous amount of death. There's a tremendous amount of disappointment. But I think the thing that tragedy is one thing, but just plain evilness is just so horrible. And when you see just how evil some people can be, I've always said, man, if you're going to kill me, just be a good shot, please. Don't miss. Just wound me. Take me out. And there are people that, listen, let me just say that there's some people that said, have questions in their mind when they go through a tragedy or go through an evil experience or just disappointment. It's like God could have done something if he really wanted to. And that's one of those questions that deep in your heart and your mind, you question. God could have done something if he wanted to. Is that a true or false statement? Another one is, if God truly loved mankind, he would never have allowed Satan to have the kingdoms of this world. That's a challenging question. If God really loved and cared for us, he would coach us, train us, and instruct us to ambush the ambushes. Not too many people ask that question or say that to me. It should be one of the questions that we ask quite a bit. If you are God, why don't you coach me? If you are God, why don't you teach me? If you're God, why don't you train me so I can attack my enemy and win before he attacks me? And that's a good question. I think people ought to ask that question a lot more. I think they ought to go to God and say, why don't you train me? Why don't you teach me? Because you know what he'd say? I'm here. That's my goal. Luke 6:40 says this, that you'll never be above your teacher, your trainer. But when you're fully trained, you'll be like him. But you'll never be. You can get like Jesus. He'll train you. He'll give you everything he knows. He'll teach you how to use everything. And he'll also empower you and give you his name, give you the sword, give you everything he's got, the authority over Satan, everything else. But the question is, will you be trained? Will you seek it? Will you learn from him? Will you be obedient? You can't be obedient to that unless you trust him. And when you trust him and really trust him, then you're going to let him do that, and you're going to look for that, and you'll literally become aware of it almost all the time of your life, a constant relying on the Holy Spirit to teach and train you in simple things. I'm just amazed how many times we're talking to several people this week, or conversations of just saying, man, a situation came up, I didn't know what to do. And, you know, even if it's in your own trade or whatever else sometimes, and then just saying, Holy Spirit, I don't know what to do here, show me. It's just amazing how he'll help you in every situation. And he's there, and he wants help. Let me just say this again, that you may rise up to that, but you'll never exceed and be greater than Jesus. But let me say the opposite now. Those who are serving Satan can be trained by him. They can partake of his nature. They can get to where they do the most cruel things. They don't just kill people. They torture them. They torment them. They starve them. They take away their dignity. They take away everything. And no person will ever get worse than Satan himself. Now think about this. Think about some of the horrible things that people do that are unimaginable to us, and realize that their father is worse. His nature is to kill, destroy, divide, torment. That's him. That's his nature. He'll never change. He's a liar. He's full of deception. And I guess the only thing I want to do today is not give you new information, not tell you something you don't know, but just magnify a little bit and lift up the vast difference between the two natures, the nature of God and the nature of evil. And it's not close. It's not close. It's not mixed. And tell you the truth, what gets a lot of people in trouble is they mix the two together, and they think Satan's got a little bit of good in him, or evil does, and they think God has a little bit of evil in him. And that will take you down a wrong path. That will deceive you. That will take your confidence away. That'll take your victory away. Listen, there's a reason why the Bible says, trust in the Lord and him only. Not in mankind. Not in yourself. Because the only way to have pure victory and the pure love of God and the hope and all the promises that God has made is to be in Jesus, in the kingdom. And that kingdom, there is no darkness. There is no deception. There is none. There is no evil in it. The kingdom is a kingdom of light and not of darkness. But if in our thinking and in our hearts' belief system, we kind of mix it just a little bit, it's extremely dangerous, and it'll take away a lot of victories. You know, Jesus was sharing in that parable, he says, when a strong man has guarded his stuff and got his guards up and got everything protected, all his goods are at peace. They're undisturbed until somebody stronger comes. And what Jesus is referring there, that's a principle in all areas, but he's referring to, and Satan was a strong man who had protected his goods. He received the kingdoms of this earth through deception, through Adam. He became the ruler of this earth and the ruler of the kingdoms of this earth. So when he offered Jesus the kingdoms of the earth, he was offering Jesus a real temptation. These have been given through deception. Now, Jesus is saying, now, a strong man has come and is busting down the doors and taking the goods back. That's Jesus. He said, I didn't cast it. You know, and in that whole parable right there, again, what Jesus is saying, if you think that I'm casting out demons by Satan, then you're messed up. He doesn't go against himself. I came, and when I deal with him by the power of the kingdom of light, now I'm the strong man that's taken over. And, of course, we know that he went on to do that. He went to the cross. He went to the grave. He took all the condemnation, took all our sin, took all the deception. He took everything, all that Satan had legally got hold of. He took it. He went down there, and he busted it, and he came back out the victorious. He said, I now have the keys to the kingdom. I'm now, God has made me Lord and master of all. So why should we trust him? Why? Or should we still have these doubts? Is he really for us? If he's all that powerful, how come we're not seeing more victories in our life? That's the questions that you and I have to answer to ourselves. And I can give you a lot of my philosophy. I can give you a lot of the word on that. And you have a lot of word on that, and you know it. But today, my hopes is that you kind of look at it with a microscope a little bit and say, I think I need to dissect this a little bit more clearer in my mind. I think I need to separate this a little bit more. Understanding means separation. I need to separate this slight little doubt coming in that there's just a little bit of evil in God and a little bit of good in Satan. And I need to eliminate that and say, God is good, and the enemy is absolutely an enemy, and he'll never change, and he never backs off, and he never slows down, and he never takes a nap, and he never backs off. And just because, you know, some people just say, well, I'm going to be a little less bold because I know Satan comes after me when I'm bold. He's coming after you whether you're bold or not. He has no restraint. You know, self-control is a godly fruit. He has no self-control. He cannot back off because, well, you're kind of compromising now. I'll be all right. No, he is consumed with who he is. And God is consumed with, God is a consuming fire of love and passion for you. That's what he thinks of. As us walking on the sand, you know, in the sand out there, you know, the dry stuff is really fluffy and gets in your feet and toes, you know. And then you hit the one with the water, and man, they're driving trucks on it. You know, there's elk coming out there in the morning, you know, leaving these tracks. But anyway, it's just hard. But anyway, just walking there, giving glory to God, and I look down, and he says, his thoughts towards us are more than the sands of the sea. I'm just a one little beach. Please don't ask me to count the sand. One, two. Take all the beaches in the world. I tell you, boy, what a mind-blowing thought that his thoughts towards you are more sands of the sea. That, my gosh, that's, what is that? That's gazillions. I mean, you know, when you sometimes say, God, are you there? Are you aware? Before you were ever even thought of, conceived, before the foundations of the world, God knew who you were and was thinking about you. He is God, you know. He is extraordinary. He is not close to us in that area. We can grow close to him, but we'll never exceed him. But his thoughts towards us are more than, if they're more than sand, see, he is not missing anything in your life. And he is always for you. And he will show you everything. But he did say, you got to ask and keep on asking. You got to seek and keep on seeking. You got to knock and keep. You know, I talked to some pastor friends, and they're my age, or some younger, some older, kind of retiring, you know. And, boy, I'm glad I don't have to do all that. And I go, yeah, it's only if you don't want a pastor. But I said, are you still seeking the kingdom? Are you still hungry for the things of God? Are you still asking? Are you still seeking? Because some of them, it indicates that they're not. You know, you can tell what a person's passionate about. It doesn't take too long to be with them and find out what they like or dislike. And sometimes I feel bad. Sometimes I was talking to a funeral director once, and I said something about, well, you know, I'm not perfect, and I, you know, da-da-da, and I, you know. And I don't know how the conversation is going. And he just stopped me and said, John, stop it. I said, what? He said, you just ooze Jesus all the time. He said, it doesn't take long to be around you to know what you're into. And I was almost feeling apologetic because I don't always just pass out tracts and cast out devils out of everybody. But, you know, I'm just saying our God is passionate for us. But he had to say, you're going to have to trust me. And you're going to have to seek me. And you're going to have to ask me. And then you need to understand, your enemy is not backing off. I've defeated him, but don't think that he won't use all his powers of deception that he used on Adam to get mankind, to get the kingdom's beginning. For this period of time, he's still allowed to be him. And as the Bible says, he is like a roaring lion. You know, I like that because the roaring lions are usually toothless and they can't attack. So they roar and scare the enemy, you know, or scare the animals into the young lions waiting at the other end. And he said, then he's like a snake waiting to devour. One thing about a snake that devours, the pythons over in the Philippines, they can eat a whole person, but they can't eat you if you wiggle. There's hope. You may be halfway down the snake right now, but if you'll start wiggling, I mean, it's a powerful little thing. You just start wiggling. You start fighting. You start doing something. You may not have a lot of power to fight right now, but whatever battle. Or you may be dealing with somebody that has not a lot of knowledge, but if you can get them to wiggle, he can't devour you. But he will devour you if you don't wiggle. I got to tell you this story. This is one of my... well, early stories. Kenneth Copeland was flying a plane for Oral Roberts in his early days. He just got saved. Kenneth was playing in nightclubs, and he got saved, and then he went to ORU, and he was flying as a pilot, so he's flying ORU around. Anyway, Oral's minute having the healing meetings, and so Kenneth was helping him, and they brought up the people that were paralyzed and all that and prayed for them, and then they took them back to a back room. I appreciated this. They took them back to a back room and had people go minister to them. They didn't just send them away after he laid hands on them. And Kenneth Copeland was young in the Lord and all that, but zealous for the Lord, and he walked back, and here's this guy laying on a gurney, and he's paralyzed, and he said, what can you move? He says, nothing. And Kenneth just said, what can you move? What do you mean? He says, you got anything you can move? And he goes, I can wiggle my little finger. And he said, wiggle that thing. And that guy started wiggling that thing. He said, and he stopped. He goes, what'd you stop for? He says, well, what do you mean? He said, wiggle that thing. Keep wiggling that thing. And he sat there and he spent that next hour with him just telling him, keep wiggling, pretty soon another finger, and then pretty soon another finger. And all of a sudden he was wiggling that. And by the time it was over, he was walking out. Isn't that cool? No matter where somebody's at, get them to move something. Get them to start activating their voice, start activating their faith or whatever else. But here we go. We got God is so, so good for us and all for us, all powerful. And we got this enemy that is trying to take us down through deception, through our mind, through our thinking, through doubt, and through just a slight bit of doubt. And it can cancel out. Now, let me ask you something. When people do evil, Jesus said this to Judas. He said, Satan has filled your heart. Go and do what you're going to do. You ever look at somebody? I was thinking about somebody really evil, but then I can just think of a little kid. You ever see a little kid and you said, don't do that. And they just stare at you. And then you just start seeing this. Possession take over. It's like a dark cloud just sneaks into their eyes. And they're looking at you real innocent with a smile, and all of a sudden they just look at you, and all of a sudden it's like lightning bolts coming out. And it's like, you're going to do it, aren't you? You're, and they just go and do deliberately what you told them not to do. If Satan is so full of evil, and he is, and the people that are following him, why aren't there more murders, rapes, going on than there is today. You ever think about that? You can say, why is there so much evil? I got a question for you. Why is there not more? Why is there not just, I mean, you don't have to be a real evil guy to have lustful thoughts that you want to act on. Why does it not be act on more? Why, if Satan, he can literally enter people's soul and manifest his nature through them, why is it not happening more? And I say, there's something restraining him. He's got restraints on him. Or it would be rampant murder, theft all the time. The people you're walking with that don't know God, not walking with God, they can live a pretty good life, do pretty good morality and all that. Why? Because there's a restraint on him. He's not allowed to just do whatever he wants to. What is that restraint? Well, the Bible says in Thessalonians, it says, when he who restrains him is taken away, then he'll be free to do. Who is that restrains the evil one? Well, there's theologians that debate this, but I'll just say this. The Holy Ghost is inside you, and the Holy Ghost said, resist him, and he'll flee from you. Who puts the resistance on Satan? You and I do. When we're taken out of here, it'll be bad. And when you say, well, that's the Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit and you are one. You can't be separated. You and the Holy Spirit are going to be together forever and ever. If one of you goes, you'll both go. One of you stays, you both stay. I'm saying we restrain the evil one, not just in our personal life, but when you and I walk in the truth and we use the words of our mouth as a weapon and we confess and we give glory to God. What happens when that leper gave glory to God? The power of God came into him and saved him. Glory down. Broke the chains that Satan had on side of him. When we do these things, we resist the devil. He flees. And it not just flee us personally, but I believe that when you and I walk on earth, I believe when I walk into a place, I really do. I walk in sometimes, and I can be as insecure as anybody else. But when I walk into a place, and sometimes that little doubt or fear gets in me, and then I think, renew my mind and I said, man, I'm a child of God. And I just go puff up and I go, I'm here to destroy the works of the devil. And whether I witness anybody or not, I just start declaring. And I just start declaring truth wherever I am and resisting the devil. And I think I need to do more, don't you? Don't you think we ought to be trained more into this? That we are the one that restrains. When we pray for our city, when we pray for, we pray for this rally all my life, but weeks and weeks of praying. And I believe that the power of God through our prayers has kept people alive during the rally. I believe that's kept people safe during the rally. I know we've lost some, but boy, I tell you, we've won a lot of battles. We should see so much more wickedness and so many more accidents than this. Anytime you got this many guys on motorcycles drinking and don't know how to drive, it should be a wreck all day long. And it's not. I believe it's because we're here, and that's what we do. What about God? Does he have any restraints on him? Satan does. And we need to keep tying him up. How about God? Again, we got God that is so, so good. We got Satan and all the enemy that is so, so bad. We got light that is so light. And we got darkness that is so dark. And we don't mix them. There's two kingdoms and two fathers. And ours is a heavenly Father. But what about our God? Has he got restraints on him? And Jesus said, why do you doubt? And he couldn't do any mighty miracles in his hometown because the people doubted him. God has a restraint on him. It's us. Our doubt, our disbelief, our lack of obedience, our lack of seeking, asking, knocking. And I was just thinking about how 40 years ago on that brown paper bag, we had some pretty tough, realistic requests on that thing. And like I said, we've lost some battles as a body and et cetera. But I can tell you, we are so blessed. Overall, we are so stinking blessed. I mean, again, I came and tried to plow up or, you know, blade up the parking lot a little bit. 2.5 years sitting there with the rust and everything. It was a mess. And so I was working on that. It took way longer than I thought. And for me, I got to crank my head back to look at the blade, and I'll be seeing the chiropractor tomorrow. It just doesn't, I think it's going to turn better now because I was hours of looking back there, you know. And then I took that tractor home and grabbed the mower. I looked, and man, I tell you what, you guys just mowed it. This thing looked like a hayfield. Yeah, so I came back about 8 o'clock, and so I was going to mow, and I got here, and a car comes in, and I go, oh, I think I recognize them. And sure enough, it was a daughter and mother, and she's up in yours. And so I got off the mower, went over to them, and said, would you like to take a tour? Oh, we would love to. So I gave them a tour of the building, and they just, this is beautiful, this is beautiful. Yeah, man, we're blessed. We are really blessed. We're blessed in so many ways. We're blessed financially, most of us, we're blessed, you know, homes, blessed with kids, grandkids. We're blessed, the music. We're blessed in just so many multitude of ways. We're blessed, blessed, blessed. We're blessed with the rain. We're blessed with good friends. We're blessed, blessed, blessed in this country. We're blessed. Hallelujah. But we're not fully trained yet. We can become sharper, more powerful, more accurate, more aggressive, asking more, asking more, asking more. The tendency is to ask until you get that and then stop asking. That's the tendency. That's the human nature. That's the old school. Ours is, to whom much has been given, more will be given to them. We excel. We excel. We keep on excelling. The kingdom of God never stops increasing. We're not we're content, but not as satisfied. He'll meet you. God will meet each and every one of us according to our expectations and our hope. That's going to be the measure. Have no expectation, no hope. Very little is going to come. I have a lot of expectations. Again, human nature is get disappointed, stop asking. Some of you heard this, well, most of you have, but saw a bumper sticker on a car once, and I go, I got to see that thing. Something inside says, I got to see that thing. I had to get really close. My eyesight wasn't so good. I got really close and said, I feel so much better since I gave up hope. I saw that. Holy Ghost wanted me to see that. Why? Because that's the carnal thinking. And Jesus says, I'll heal your brokenhearted. Ask for more. You were disappointed in this, but ask for more. Ask again. I'm a great, great, good, good, good God. You got a great, great, bad, 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 evil one. You'll resist him. You'll defeat him by asking for more. Increase in your life in every area. And don't let it get muddy. Don't let it start mixing. Why is God not doing this? Why is he not for me? Why is he delaying this? That is a question that will open up the door to doubt. The question is, how good is he? How bad is our evil one? And what are we going to do about it? Not just individually, but corporately. And I say, fight, fight, fight. Amen? Father, we thank you so much. Would you stand with me, please? Father, we thank you so much for your goodness, for your kindness. Your loving kindness are new every morning. Father, I think the things that you've given us in the scriptures that tell us how to win this battle. And part of it is by acknowledging and giving you glory that you are a good, good God, that you're always for us, that your thoughts towards us are more than the sands of the sea, that you actually dance over us, you sing over us. Hallelujah. And even when we depart from this earth, which seems like an ultimate defeat to us. It's not an ultimate defeat, it's an ultimate win. You receive us into your arms. You're waiting for our presence to be in with you. And yet you're also saying, for my sake, for my kingdom's sake, for the people that I love, will you remain on the earth and finish your destination and finish your course? And Father, we just openly, boldly confess before the throne right now, yes, we will. Yes, we will. We will finish our course. We will run this race. We will walk in faith, and we will not be denied our victory. And we will press on each and every day, and we will give you all the glory and all the praise, and we will destroy the works of the devil with our last breath, and we give you thanksgiving for it all. We worship you this day. Amen. Amen. So pull your swords, sort it out, and give God glory. Have a great week.